And we're your hosts. I'm Diane Bortoletto.
And I'm Monique Chicardo.
Let's do it.
Hello, hello, and welcome to And Away We Go F1 Podcast, a Formula One podcast that goes beyond the track limits to talk about travel, food, and lifestyle surrounding the sport. I'm Diane Bortoletto, your pre-Drive to Survive Formula One fan, and today I'm in Perth in Western Australia.
And I'm Monique Chicardo, your post-Drive to Survive fan, and today I'm in my hometown of Bunbury in Western Australia.
Oh, must be so nice to be with your parents again, Mon.
Oh, I can't tell you how amazing it is to be home. To think that I used to think that Bunbury wasn't for me, it takes moving away, I think, to really, you know, realize the beauty. But it's so good to be here and be with my family and the sun and the beach and everything.
And this week, we've got part two of our super long chat with Lee Hanacek from Karting Australia. We left last week after just talking about Jack Doohan. So this week's episode, we talk about grid kids and how Karting Australia is involved in that, girls racing, and also we do the final three with Lee, of course, like we do with all of our guests. Also, Lee keeps us hanging, doesn't he, Mon? He drops a few nuggets of gold of news and things that are coming up. And, oh, we tried, didn't we, to get the news out of him?
Look, as a journalist, it is our job to find ways to get the news and the information out of people. But he's a closed book. He was not giving anything away. He has the best poker face. And, oh, it would have been so good to know exactly what was coming up.
There's
so many exciting opportunities for these kids that he's working with in karting and, you know, teens and adults. But yeah, he's a bit of a closed book, but it is a wonderful conversation, as was the first part of our conversation last week. So enjoy the rest of it.
Lee's forever the professional and not giving anything away that he shouldn't. So enjoy this conversation with Lee Hanacek from Karting Australia.
You mentioned young girls in karting. Have you seen an increase in girls wanting to get into go-karts? We've spoken so much about Drive to Survive on the podcast, and we've spoken so much about the fact that it's a series that has really helped to get a certain demographic, a certain age group of young women into motorsports. Have you seen that there's been a correlation between the launch of the show and young girls wanting to be involved, or just in general, maybe there's been a growth, or maybe there hasn't?
There certainly is a lot more interest around motorsports with females. And we've got, there are many young girls who are competing. I mean, I've seen it over the years. There's been a significant increase. I mean, I look it back in the 90s, we had maybe one or two girls that raced at the highest level. Mm-hmm. And then at club and local level, you had a handful of drivers in and out of the sport. But now, yes, certainly it's not uncommon to see young girls up the front fighting for podiums and taking it to the boys basically on an even playing field. I mean,
brilliant.
We've got, I mentioned James Agnosiadis, who finished checking the World Junior Championship. His older sister, Ava, has been racing kart. She's been racing in Europe last year, and she's done some Formula 4 racing recently. And if all rumours are correct, that she'll likely have some very exciting news come the next few weeks, hopefully. So
keep us posted.
She's been doing a good job in Formula 4, and so hopefully she can continue that progression.
Are we talking a progression into Formula 3 or Academy?
We're talking possible progression throughout the sport. So
nice try, Mon.
She's a second generation racer. Her mum, Barb, was a top level racer. She raced against the likes of Mark Winterbottom, Jamie Wincup the day. But she was the only one. You know, there wasn't three or four of them around. She was the only girl at that level at her time. So, Ava is now making her own mark. She actually, her first drive in a go-kart was at a Junior Sprockets program, which is effectively our AFL Auskick program for motorsport. So she drove the the first time was at the Junior Sprockets program back in 2015, I think it was, maybe 16, and has progressed through the sport from there. So we've got a lot of young girls and it continues to improve, and I look forward to seeing more of the girls compete on an even playing field and just making sure that they have the opportunity.
And so on that, with the even playing field, we've had this discussion on the podcast before about the F1 Academy, which we both agree is a fantastic initiative, but there's been some chatter about whether or not racing women against other women is really going to develop them as a racing driver to be able to compete against the men in the main championship. Have you got any thoughts on that, Lee? What do you think of the F1 Academy series?
I think the F1 Academy series is great from a promotional aspect and provide a platform for these girls to be on the big stage. Now, to be able to provide that and learn their craft on that stage is fantastic. Now, they then need to be able to take advantage of whatever opportunities come their way, whether that's in, you know, Formula 3, Formula 4, Formula 2, you know, whatever it is, but they just then need to step it up from there. So while you say that, you know, they've got to then go in the full championship, yes, they do. But to be able to provide the opportunity for them to race on the F1 card, to be able to get the experience of what they can do, and also the exposure for those young drivers to be able to give them the opportunity to be able to learn from those around them, I think it's, it is a great thing. Hopefully what it does, it then provides them with a more confidence and more opportunities to then progress through the sport. Without being beaten up. Yeah.
Mm, yeah. And I think you're bang on with saying the exposure is really, really what's key here, both for exposure, you know, externally for these women to be seen as racers by the general public, but also for them to be exposed to other teams in Formula 2 or other
sponsors.
Exactly. It's just given, or it's opened up a whole new world for them, as opposed to them, I guess, fighting with literally everyone else that wants to get into the sport. Female and male. They've got this, you know, special little platform that's helping them. So,
well, it's not that little, but yes, a dedicated platform for them. Yes.
Yes. That was my little cutesy way of describing it.
But one question I have for you, Lee, is with the cars, you know, just the anatomy of men and women, it's different. We interviewed a female racer from New Zealand, Rhianna O'Meara Hunt, in episode 10 on the podcast. And she said that in the race car, the pedal was so big and her foot only came halfway up the pedal. So to put pressure on the pedal required more force from her than it would from someone who's taller or someone who's got a bigger foot. I suppose my question is, do you think it would be fair to modify cars to suit, or are cars modified to suit the driver?
I'm not sure about the pedal positions and things like that from a race car point of view. I know from a karting point of view, they're all the same.
Okay.
Yeah, but the biggest thing is you do need to drum it into yourself about the brake pressure and the different aspects and the physical aspect. It's certainly something that you need to be on top of. And I know that's something Ava has certainly focused very heavily on, is the fitness side of it from the last 3 or 4 years. Is really focusing on being that extreme fitness that you can be, because that's what you've got to be, whether you're male or female. It doesn't matter.
You've
got to be super fit so you can be absolutely on song every time you get in the race car.
And does that start from a karting age, the fitness aspect outside of the car? That start, wow.
Yes.
That's interesting.
It's getting younger and younger in terms of how fit they want to be, how healthy they want to eat, all of those aspects. Reaction times. We've got kids as young as 12, you know, 11 and 12, really focusing on reaction times, on fitness, on all of those type of things to be right on top of the game.
And nutrition as well.
Yeah.
Is that something that they're focused on?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
There's a lot of those things that have become, because when you're looking at these opportunities, it's not a case of you're dealing in seconds between opportunities. You're dealing in tenths and hundredths of a second, sometimes thousands of a second is a difference. So you got to make sure that you are completely on top of your game when you want to be the best.
Yes.
So it's crazy.
It's crazy to see things develop as much as they have, right? Because back 30 years ago, I'm fairly certain you wouldn't have had 12-year-olds working on their reaction time 30 years ago like they are now, right? Yeah.
No, there's no way you would have had the thing. But the biggest thing you had about 30 years ago was those drivers who were old enough to be at the pub at 18 or 19 years of age. The really focused ones, they didn't go to the pub. The television ones, they went to the pub. That's probably as simple as it gets.
Yeah.
Crazy.
We simply go and have some fun. Now, that's still the case of a lot of them, but there are also a lot of drivers who, have got that drive and are really focused on, what they want to do. And same thing in any sport, in football, in soccer. They've got young soccer players who are 11 years of age, and they're going over Italy to do soccer camps and, those type of things. So it's no different in the world. In the modern day that we live in is that people are looking younger and younger and younger. And even look at the AFL Junior Academy programs where you've got kids as young as, as 12 years of age being taught by AFL level coaches.
So interesting. What's the youngest driver that's, I assume there's obviously scouting that goes on in the go-kart world. What's the youngest that anyone's ever been spotted and kept their eye on them for their talent?
It's really hard to say what the youngest is, but over the many years I've been involved, I've seen a lot of good young, we've got cadets, which are under 13. There were juniors that are 13 to 16, and you've got the seniors that are 16 and above. Now, I've seen a lot of really good cadet drivers, and then they start to peter out as they get older in terms of racing against the drivers that have got more experience than them, and they either step up or they become just a normal good driver, not great. Then you go from juniors to seniors and see the great drivers stand out. If they go up from a junior to a senior, one of the things I see over the last 15 to 20 years is the fact that there is a lot of young drivers moving to cars probably too early and not getting experience in karting the racecraft, which they need. And I've always had a theory of you need at least 1 year as a senior driver. And people look at me a bit weird going, well, why is he staying karts for another 12 months? Because the fact is, if you go from juniors where you're racing against the best 16, 15-year-old kids to seniors as a 14 or a 15-year-old kid, you're racing against drivers who are possibly at 15 or 20 years of experience in the sport, depending how old they are, you're learning the racecraft by racing against the best. So you've got drivers who've been around, low the tricks of the trade. So when you want to move on to cars or other things, you're not learning that on the circuit and crashing a Formula 4 car and tearing a corner off of a Formula 4 car. You're doing it in a go-kart where you might bend an axle, which is a couple hundred dollars rather than a couple of thousand dollars. And you can do so much more racing to learn the race car. So it's not about how young you are.
Because Di, when we were talking to Riata, she was saying that people want to get into cars as quickly as possible. So it's interesting to hear it from someone who works for karting and from racers themselves who are like, oh, we just want to get into cars.
Now, Lee, you've got kids yourself. Are they going to be karters when they're old enough, or are they racing?
No. No interest.
Oh, they've got no interest. No. I thought it was. No, okay. Oh. Oh, I thought you meant it was you saying no.
Me too.
No interest.
Yeah, fair enough. Then no point pushing them, right?
Correct.
And it's all about the kids having fun and following their passions and doing what they enjoy. Last time I saw you, Lee, was at the Australian Grand Prix a couple of years ago. And Karting Australia always has a presence at the Australian Grand Prix in Melbourne. What are you doing there? Like, what's...
It varies every year there, Di. I mean, we have a display, which is an information stand, effectively, for people who are at the event. We also work closely with the Grand Prix Corporation on a lot of promotional opportunities. We've got an event called Stars of Karting, which will be held on the Monday prior to this year's event, Monday afternoon at Port Melbourne, where we'll have 100 of the best drivers from around the country come together for an event. And then we'll also have possibly some other special guests that may be in town for the Grand Prix to come along and just have, you know, be a part of the activities and really showcase the sport of karting in the biggest week of motorsport in Australia. And then we have Grid Kids.
I was going to ask, so you organise the Grid Kids as well?
Yeah, so we've done the Grid Kids for the last 10 to 11 years, I think it is, who have come through. I mean, they're a Grid Kid. Last few years, we've had kids in the back of the podium, which is really cool to see them experience that. What is quite incredible is some of the names that have come through as Grid Kids that are now inspired.
Tell us.
2015, there was a young boy called Oscar Piastri who was a Grid Kid.
Yeah. There's a good photo of him as a Grid Kid.
Yeah, he was a Grid Kid. James Wharton was a Grid Kid. James Anosiadis was a Grid Kid. Ava was also there. We've also had Christian Pancione races Porsche for a number of years. I can't recall whether Kai Allen was one as well, but we've had a number of them. Lewis Francis, who's now racing karts in Europe, he was a Grid Kid as well. So, yeah, so a lot of those kids have come through and been inspired by that program, which is, you know, one of the things we're very proud of with the Grand Prix Corporation to put that in place. And Andrew Westcott, the former CEO of the Grand Prix Corporation, was instrumental in putting that program together. He continues on now, you know, past where he's left his post as a CEO. But yeah, certainly that's one of the big programs we do. It's some years it's been one of the most stressful days of my life.
Oh, I'd heard in kids. What do they say about working with kids and animals?
Well,
don't do either.
One year we had 80 Grid Kids in four different groups that we needed to manage, the kids, the parents, and it was a challenge, but we got it done.
So, oh my God.
I could just imagine how excited they all are and how hard it would be.
And then because they're all doing different experiences, you've got to try and manage the expectations and what they can do and what they can't do. And
no, you can't go to the toilet right now because you've got to be there in 25 seconds.
Pretty much. And then there's another year where they did the resurfacing, and on the Wednesday of the Grand Prix week, we had 20, I think it was 20, it might have been 30 kids do a lap in their carts behind Tim Schenken in his World Championship winning car. And that was pretty cool, linked like that. So there's something we've done at Grand Prix Corp, and yeah, we're very proud to have such an association with them, and we've got a really cool thing happening this year for two young, one boy and one girl from our Cadet 12 ranks, who they were in the Junior Top Guns event at Oakley in Melbourne in middle of January. And then they've been interviewed by the Grand Prix Corporation, and the top two boys and two girls will be interviewed by Trevor Sold, the CEO of the Grand Prix Corporation, after which one will be selected, one boy, one girl will be selected to have an incredible experience around the Grand Prix week. So
you got out there too, didn't you?
What will they do? Tell us details.
They'll be having an incredible experience around the Grand Prix week. More will be revealed as it gets finalized and released. But yes, certainly it is going to be a really cool experience.
Will they be handing out trophies?
I reckon. Oh, no, they wouldn't be passing the champagne.
Waving flag?
Maybe waving the flags. Yeah, although pressing the start button. Pressing the start button. Are we close? No.
Oh, I'm not saying a word. Give me nothing.
Oh, give us nothing. Oh, it's tough to crack this one. All right, shall we move into the final three? This is the three questions that we ask all of our guests that come on and Away We Go F1 podcast. Lee, if you could travel for a holiday to any F1 destination, whether it's race week or not, whether it's a current race on the calendar or not, which destination would you choose and why?
Okay, so there's probably two different answers. One of those that I would say that I could travel to for a destination haven't been on race week, but I have been there would be Imola.
Oh, yeah.
And been at the Ayrton Senna Memorial 18 months ago, I was there. That was pretty emotional to go to there.
It would have been.
Going there was certainly really moving to see how much that is there in terms of his memory was pretty cool. In terms of race week, I mean, I can't say that I go, yeah, I really want to go to one of the a race week by size of Melbourne, because Melbourne, yeah, it's got a great atmosphere.
It does.
Much rather have gone, being of an age where you could really enjoy it rather than being a kid in Adelaide. Yeah, I went to Adelaide as a kid to enjoy it as a 20, 25 year old. That would have been pretty cool. I still remember Bon Jovi playing in the final concert in, 1995.
Favourite band?
Wouldn't have picked that at all. Not at all.
Stop it. I'm also a Swiftie, so, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Monza.
Monza.
During a race week, Monza would be cool, being the whole Ferrari thing. I've been there when it hasn't been a race week. It was in the middle of winter. Yeah, that was cool to see the history of the place. So there's a number of those. Vegas, well, there's another story. You know, it's not about the race. It's about the party.
And if you could holiday with any F1 driver, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
Once again, there's probably a couple of answers here. Ayrton Senna, I reckon, just the stories and he could have told kids growing up in the 80s and 90s. He was the one that in motorsport that everyone looked up to. I think a bit of fun, you'd probably say Valtteri Bottas. He would be, a fair bit of fun to be around.
How good is his content at the moment? Oh, it's just gold.
He's got some great content. Yeah, I think if you were looking at just as a lad, Daniel Ricciardo, and know some of the boys that he's good mates with. I've sort of met Daniel a few times through after he sort of from karting, and the last time was 4 or 5 years ago when we did a media gig together. So everything would be pretty cool because it just it's that fun. It's not about anything. It's just that fun to be a lad.
Daniel and Bottas tend to be two of the more common answers for this second question that we ask. And fun fact, actually, one of Diane and I's mutual friends, big Formula One fan, our friend Louisa, she actually ran into Valtteri Bottas just on the side of the road in Perth during the Tour de Down Under.
Yeah, Strong Cycling Nationals.
Yes, because obviously Valtteri Bottas's partner, Tiffany Braces, and she spotted him and he was alone. And she was like, oh gosh, like, do I go up to him? And she went and said hello. And she said he was genuinely the nicest person. And she was so scared that he would say no to having a photo. But he was genuinely so nice and happy to have a photo. And I feel like Bottas just up there with Daniel Ricciardo, definitely for like, being a lad, being a genuine nice guy. So I'd go on holiday with them too. If you could cook any dish from any country, any cuisine that the Formula One races tour around and go to, what would you choose and why?
That's an interesting one.
I feel like this stumps a lot of people.
I would say a nice Italian pizza, pasta. I knew I'd get a thumbs up from Di on that one.
Another very popular answer.
I really enjoy Italy. I've been there a few times on holiday. The pizza there is, it's like no other. So, you'd probably go with an Italian thing.
Yeah, very nice.
Good decision. Yeah.
It's such a well-loved cuisine that I think it's really hard to look past.
For good reason as well.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. For good reason. The food is amazing. So,
totally biased, unashamed.
One day I'm really, really looking forward to someone being like, I really want to cook. It doesn't go to the Formula One, obviously, doesn't go to Russia anymore, but I would really love someone to just be like, I want to cook a Russian meal.
Or I want to cook a dish from Azerbaijan, or something random.
I actually did think of one of those random ones like that because I do recall in Sweden, it was, no, Finland, I should say. After Rally Finland, I had dinner with Rowena Harding.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's a name I haven't heard for a while.
It was on the Monday after the rally in Sweden, and I recall having reindeer.
Yum.
Wow.
I have never had it again, but it was one of those things you go, yeah, that was different. Yeah, you know, so when you, I was trying to think of something along those lines.
Italian, proper Italian pizza is.
Yeah.
You can't beat it.
You're speaking to the converted here because I live in Norway. So, you know, I've eaten reindeer quite a few times, never had whale and would not recommend eating whale because I've only ever heard terrible things. And it's obviously not exactly, you know, the nicest, nicest thing to be hunting whales. Swedish reindeer. Swedish meatballs. Yeah, sweet.
Thank you so much, Lee, for coming on and Away We Go F1 podcast. You've given us so many great insights into the start of a racer's racing career and how people can get into karting and the world of karting. So I really appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, Diane. Monique, great to be with you, and we wish you the best for the year ahead and look forward to some fantastic racing and hopefully Oscar and Jack up on the podium throughout the year will be a great result.
Yes, let's hope.
And finally, thank you guys for listening to our podcast. If you liked what you heard, you can leave a review or a rating or both. Please do both. That would be really nice. On your favorite podcast listening apps, every review and every comment always helps. If you want to chat to us further, you can email us on andawaywego f1podcast@gmail.com. Or you can contact us on any of the social media apps that we are on. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube, and TikTok. Just search for And Away We Go F1 Podcast and you'll find us there.
Thank you, Mon. Thank you, Lee. And thank you for having us in your ears. Until next week and until lights out.
It's lights out. Away We Go!
And Away We Go podcast is produced by Diane Bortoletto and Monique Ciccato. Let's do it.